Welcome to the Dope Black Woman podcast, the podcast where we share stories of Black excellence as part of our safe digital sisterhood. I'm Leanne Levos.
I'm Roshan, but you can call me Shan.
I'm Livs.
This week, we're discussing the politics of being mixed race. Hey guys, it's your girl Livs, back with another episode of your favourite podcast. This week, I want to talk about being mixed race. Now, me, myself, I am a mixed race woman. I've grown up with a Black mother and a white father. And I've always found it a difficult thing to navigate how I define myself, how I define my Blackness and fitting in. And I want to explore that today with other women in a similar position.
Hi, so my name's Danielle and I'm an integrative counsellor and I see clients 7 days a week, really, supporting them to process their life experiences and understand their journeys, what that means to them and where they'd like to go within themselves. My mix is Black Jamaican and English Italian.
Yeah, so I'm Jamila and I'm currently studying integrative transpersonal psychotherapy. And my heritage is Nigerian Filipino. So my father is Nigerian, my mother is Filipina. An immigrant, so I grew up in Nigeria and moved to the UK to study and stayed. And the reason why I went into studying psychotherapy in the first place is to understand myself and sort of integrate both of my heritage, because I felt that I was sort of hiding one side because of the way I look. So I'm not Asian presenting per se. So I just basically thought it would be easier for everyone and myself to just be Black.
Well, I mean, so both of you work within the realm of psychology and psychotherapy. So, you know, I want to jump right into it and start with you, Danielle. I mean, what do you think are some of the mental challenges with being mixed race? Or maybe what are some of the things that some of your clients have told you about how they feel being mixed race?
So I think it can be completely different for everyone. But there are obviously some common themes, I would say, with the experience. Some of the challenges can be, I guess, that kind of sense of discomfort or feeling as though you have to pick a side, or that kind of outside, the outside maybe judgment of that. What side are you? Are you more this or are you more that? Or you're not allowed to sit on the fence. And I think depending on the environment that you grew up in, you know, there are lots of different things that kind of impact on that experience. But if we think about the environment you grew up in, so whether you frequent more, and I'll use myself as an example because I know white and Black isn't the only mix that you can get, but do you frequent more whiter spaces? Are you frequenting more, you know, Black spaces, and what that was like for you, how you navigated through that? So I think there have been some themes around the difficulties in navigating the two spaces that you are and other people's judgment of that and how you should be acting and how you make sense of that.
Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, this is something I think about a lot, and how much of it is nature and how much of it is nurture. Because for me, for example, my brother is very, very light skinned. I mean, like, he basically looks white. And to anyone that didn't know him will probably say he's white. And most of his friends are white. His girlfriend is white. The spaces that he inhabit are mostly white people. And, you know, I often wonder how much of that is a conscious decision, how much of it is, you know, we gravitate towards people that look like us. And then when people realize you're mixed race, it's almost like I got you kind of moment, like you're caught out. And it's really interesting, like the older you get and the more you realize that, you know, these things are so blurred and so fluid, and it shouldn't really be you know, here's a camp for black people, here's a camp for white people, you know, pick one or the other. But sometimes, as you said, it does feel like that.
Yeah, I mean, I totally, you know, resonate with both of you. And it's that thing of not being allowed to, you know, sit on the fence, so to speak. And also, it's not being allowed to be the bridge between two cultures. And whenever, in my own experience, whenever I'd bring it up and say, well, actually, you know, this culture and that other culture have very similar ways of being or doing things or looking at life, or of love, of you know, children and family. And it's almost this denial, insisting that you have to be in a box, which is, you know, psychologically can be, it's very limiting, and it can be damaging as well, because I think most of the time we live unconsciously. And so the people that, well, from my own experience, because of me presenting black as opposed to Asian, so it was that thing of, okay, well, everyone insists that I am so, they will not accept that I am both. And so instead of fighting it, I'll just go with the flow and play the game as well. But as I got older, I felt that part of me being, it was silenced, basically. Mm. And it was quite painful as well. Mm. And yeah, I think my own experience is people immediately labeling you based on how you look. And there's something in the mind of people that goes, I really want to put you in a box. You can't be in two or three boxes at the same time. And it's like, but we are the embodiment of that. We're living and breathing, you know, that life of being both cultures. So, for example, you know, 1 minute I'll eat Nigerian food, and then for dinner I'll have Filipino food, or, you know, certain mannerisms, I do both. And that's nature, because we're predisposed to have all those traits at the end of the day. And we can switch between both, you know. And that's great, because it's sort of having a different perspective of actually including all of it, as opposed to excluding those parts of ourselves. Yeah, I think it's beautiful being multi-heritage, because we've got a very different perspective, I think.
And I mean, this idea that usually, and I'm guilty of doing it, but people thinking of mixed race as only being black and white, which obviously isn't in your case. I mean, do you feel sometimes that people like you just aren't represented, or people just, you know, assume that you just don't exist almost?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's that thing of, oh, really? I've never heard of that, you know, mix before. And I'm like, there's thousands of us, because like in Nigeria, there are quite a lot of Filipinos, and, you know, intermarriage and stuff. And we all get together and have parties or gatherings. It's like, oh, this is great. So that sort of experience, I think, the more we do that, the more we instill that sense of self, and we feel stronger when we go out to the world, where I feel like I'm always the only one wherever I go now. But somehow those memories that I've just spoken about are in me, and I can hold on to that and go, actually, no, it's fine. But yeah, there's that assumption that there's only a certain type of, you know, being mixed heritage.
It's really interesting listening to you, Jamila, because, and I know you haven't kind of shared your whole story, but hearing the parts that you have shared, there's like this real like joy and kind of lightness to your experience of blending the two parts of who you are. And I think something really resonated with me when you, I can't remember your exact words, but you spoke about almost like how kind of just going with the flow of, well, because people assume that I'm this, sometimes it's easier to just do that. And I think there's something about kind of safety when you navigate the world, for both people, actually, for the person who is mixed and for other people who feel maybe unconsciously, but that these boxes that you speak about, it's easier if people are in boxes, it's easier to understand. Having something that is too complex is a bit scary, and it's not safe, and we don't know what that is. And I think as a mixed person, that feeling to, okay, cool, I'm going to go with the majority because it's actually safer for me to do that than for me to say, well, no, I'm this, you know, kind of anomaly, you know, and have to keep explaining your existence almost to every single person that you come into contact with. And so that really resonates with me, actually, that what people see you as kind of going with that for safety, depending on your upbringing and where you are.
How do you think you came to understand and identify with both your mixed race heritage and your blackness? And was that a difficult thing to try and navigate?
I have grown up predominantly with my mum, and my mum is Jamaican, born here, but she's Jamaican. And so I haven't had that much influence on my father's side, which is English Italian. And so I have always grown up just feeling like a black woman, because that's my mum, that's my aunt, that's my grandmother. When she's hot combing her hair, she's hot combing mine. When she's relaxing her hair, she's relaxing mine as well. And so that was my experience. And so, you know, growing up, particularly, you know, kind of early and mid adolescence, that kind of, oh, but you're mixed though, aren't you? And I think as a teenager, there was that realization of, oh yeah, but I am. Because I grew up in South London. I went to a very diverse school. There were lots of children who were brown and black. They looked like me. They looked like my family. So for me, as a child, I never ever felt different. And I think that difference only started to come about when, you know, with regards to things like colorism. And that's when I really realized, oh, hold on a second, no, there's a difference. And I think there was, as a teenager, I probably felt a lot of guilt about that, actually, because all of my friends were black. I gravitated towards black women a lot. And so I felt it a lot, because there was this kind of stark contrast and difference. And it became quite evident as a teenager that there were instances where outside people might choose to celebrate me and not my friends. And I think that was really difficult for me. And obviously I had the stories from my mum, her experiences, what I saw when I was with my mum. And I think, yeah, there was a lot of guilt that I placed as a teenager in being who I was and trying to make sense of that as a young woman.
Yeah, no, I can definitely relate to that sense of guilt almost, where, you know, as I've got older, I've learned that I can identify as both mixed race and black, because black is an experience where, you know, I know that certain things I've experienced or certain names I've been called has been related to my blackness, not because I'm mixed race, but because there's black in there. But at the same time, recognizing that there is a privilege that comes with being mixed race of a lighter complexion, and kind of owning that and not trying to push that away and say, oh, but we're all the same. Like, you know, people see us as the same, because, you know, that can be very ignorant. But it's very much a fine line to cross, because you don't want to act like your experiences are invalid, but at the same time, you don't want to step on other people's toes. And I always felt that was a something to balance, especially with like the term the black community, you know. And I always thought, like, do I fit into this? Like, I guess I do, but do I really? Like, it was always, you know, back and forth, especially in your teenage years, where you're already just trying to figure out who you are.
I resonate with you both, and it's that moment of realization where you go, oh, okay, so I am different. How am I different? Because of this or that. And my own experience of it was not very pleasant, because I was the only mixed race child at the time in my primary school, for example. Yeah, so I got bullied a lot for that, and that's when I found, you know, you realize as a kid, oh, okay, I am different. And there's this expectation of, well, you can't really be this because you're not fully Nigerian or you're not fully Filipino. And so it's this navigating of going, okay, so my identity sort of felt not full in a sense. Because of that, and so even with groups now, I find it more comfortable here in the UK, and say, yeah, I'm in the Black community because of, you know, the way I look. But at the same time, yeah, navigating colorism as well, and I really like what you said, Livs. It's, you know, not being ignorant about it and just owning it and just saying, yes, this is what's going on, and then really stating honestly, you know, to friends and everyone else that, yeah, you're owning and understanding what colorism is and what we can do about it and talk about it even more. I don't know about both of you, but I find that it's a very difficult topic to talk, you know, colorism is not really talked about within the Black community.
I mean, like, I definitely think it isn't spoken about enough, and I think that's maybe because to us as people within the Black community, it's like we're so aware at how, especially women, how lighter skin women are treated compared to darker skin women. But I suppose within the wider mainstream media, within white media, it's not really something people consider or think about. And so we're led to believe, oh, it's not really a problem, even though it is. Like, it's kind of very under the surface almost.
And I think it's very tokenistic. And I think what you were saying, Livs, about, I guess, the bit like the bigger corporations who feel like they're being inclusive and diverse by chucking an interracial couple in their advert, or having like mixed white and Black children in the adverts, it's like, no, because you've kind of picked the most palatable version of Blackness that you could possibly pick. And I do think it can be a difficult conversation, but it shouldn't be, and it needs to happen more. Yeah, I agree, Jamila.
Yeah, I do feel that way as well. When I look at adverts, for example, and then I see a mixed race woman, and I'm thinking, but why can't they put like a Black woman on there? I suppose, why does it have to be? And that, I can see how that can get very contagious within the Black community, where they go, well, actually, you're being overrepresented. So it does have a negative effect in a way, and it really should be talked about. And I think the more we talk about it, it will definitely hit the mainstreams and the media, and then they might change, you know, their policy on tokenism when it comes to representing minorities on television.
And I think, just kind of on that point, thinking about the psychological impact, I guess, on mixed people, that kind of being unsure about the opportunities that come your way, and whether, like, what is this for? Is it genuinely because I possess something great or worth celebrating? Or is it because you're looking at me thinking I'm going to tick a box, or you think, oh, this person looks exotic, or whatever else? And I think it can be quite difficult on your sense of self growing up and understanding, like, whether things are genuine or not, and where that comes from.
I mean, I guess part of it is almost like being an ally to your fellow Black women almost, because, say, for example, I've done panels before when I've been asked to speak about diversity in the media, and I'll ask, I'm like, who else is on the panel? Because if I'm the darkest person there, that's a problem.
Absolutely.
What do you guys think about, or, you know, what do you make of the way that mixed race people are often fetishized? I mean, how does that make you feel? Have you had any kind of personal experiences of that?
Oh, dear. Yeah, I'm laughing because it really pisses me off. I really, really, really dislike it so much. And I'll give an example. I think it was a few years ago, I was walking down the street close to where I live, and I saw mixed race twin little boys, and they were black and white heritage, and they had blonde hair and green eyes. And then people was stopping to go, oh, can I take a picture of your baby? It's so cute. And so I ran to the mom, and I said to those people, no, you're not allowed to do that. So I get very emotive about it. I get really angry about that. I'm going, no, you're not allowed to do that. Because already in my mind, I'm thinking those pictures are going to be like, oh, look at how, mixed heritage and how beautiful. And it just, that sort of fetishism, I find it really upsetting in a way, because it's almost like commodifying our bodies as opposed to seeing who we really are as human beings. So that act of just taking that picture of those, you know, little kids, I found it really, really irritating when I saw that. And then for my own personal experience, yeah, I have experienced that quite a bit, particularly when I was younger. And so it sort of made me, paranoid is a strong word, but really question motives of people, particularly dating, where sometimes I thought, oh, do they really like me? Or is it because I'm, you know, mixed race or whatever? Are they just trying to tick a box? Because there were some people who would just tick a box and go, oh, I've had this experience with a mixed race person. There's quite a lot of that to navigate.
I agree with you, Jamila. I think on a personal level, I think it's the intrigue for me. And it doesn't happen so much now that I'm kind of an adult and I confidently know how to navigate these situations. But as a younger me, you know, the kind of initial question of, oh, like, where are you from? And then whenever I would give my mix, it's that, oh, so that's why. And it's kind of like, well, so that's why what? Because I don't know what that is telling you about anything. And I think it can be very difficult to know what people's agenda is from that. And I think growing up, I think I encountered, like you said, Jamila, with the dating scene, a lot of people who maybe only dated exclusively mixed women. And that for me was a real issue, because it kind of made me question that person. Why are you only exclusively picking out women who look like me? And yeah, I think, again, I think just working through that, I think it can really impact your sense of self. And I think therapy is really useful, a very useful space for unpacking things like that and working out what it means, the things that you've been through, what parts you want to keep, what parts you don't want to keep. That's kind of my personal take on it.
Yeah. No, it definitely made me, I suppose hypervigilant is the word, you know, where people, if the first compliment you give me is about like my skin tone, for example, that's a red herring to me. I'm like, you know, why does that have to be the first thing you notice? And also, I suppose, like, you know, there's almost a responsibility for women like us to call it out, to say, actually, that's not a compliment, or, you know, I don't find it attractive when you say that you like mixed race girls because of whatever reason. Like, that's problematic. And I think when you're younger, especially, it's easy to be like, oh, they like me because I'm mixed race. I'd like to take it as a compliment. But then you realize it isn't, because it's kind of that old thing of like, oh, you're not like other girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, why do you have to put down other people to compliment me?
And I think that's so interesting, because I think there is that part to it. And when I think about my own experience, because I think I was so hyper aware of that, almost that pedestal that mixed people were put on, I feel like I really rejected it, because all of the women that I loved were black women. And so I think I was so aware of that as a young person that I kind of rejected it. And I think it meant that I kind of purposely put myself in the background because of that. And I think looking back and reflecting on it, that's the impact that it had on me, but just because of my circumstances.
I've definitely found that being mixed race can sometimes lead to quite awkward conversations. So, for example, having to discuss racism with my white family members and, you know, having to explain that the world sees us very differently and therefore our lived experiences are very different. And that can be quite uncomfortable. And, you know, it's a conversation that only is had in a mixed race household. Have you guys experienced anything similar?
Whenever, I remember when I was very, very young, I would speak my Filipino language. And then I was told not to speak that because no one else would understand. And I was only allowed to speak my father's language. And so I don't think that would come up in a single race household where you have to sort of, your family's, a family member is asking you to pick a side basically through the medium of language. And I found that really, yeah, it was kind of hurtful because it was like, oh, I'm being asked to suppress, you know, my mother's side. Well, actually, as an adult looking back, it's suppressing a side of myself that I have inherited at the end of the day. And other things are like external family. So like my in-laws, I'm married to a white Swedish man. And then sometimes being asked about how my kids will look like, our kids would look like. I don't have any kids. But that sort of, you know, question would not come up for a single race family of going, oh, how would your children look like? What color would that be? And I'm thinking, you know, okay, is that the only thing you're thinking of? And it's something, it's a conversation going on at the moment with friends of mine who are married to, you know, who have got white partners, where the families are going, how will the child look like? What skin color? Kind of the Meghan Markle thing going on. Yeah.
I'm trying to think back. Nothing comes up for me. And I'm wondering whether it's because even though I'm mixed, there's this kind of theme of just being within kind of a black household and not having, almost for a large period of my life, not having access to my English or Italian side. And so the influence that that side had on my life growing up is almost non-existent, other than the fact of knowing that other people are reminding me that I'm mixed, and knowing that I'm mixed and my experience as I walk through life is that, I suppose, of a mixed woman. That was the constant reminder. So it's really interesting because growing up, I just didn't identify it with my English or Italian side. I would always say, no, I'm mixed, as a way of explaining why I look the way I do. But as far as being in those situations and kind of hearing something, I never had that. I think the closest thing that comes to mind, I had access to that side of the family and I saw them, but it was very infrequent. So I went to stay with my granddad, who lived in Los Angeles at the time, and he is Italian. And I was there for 6 weeks. And so I had to go up and down with him. And obviously no one thought, oh, that's your granddad. I was 16. Everyone assumed something completely different. And when he took me around his friends, he was really excited to show me off. But when he took me around his friends, you know, you feel energy, right? You can feel the vibe. And he probably didn't let them know, which is sad that I have to say that, but he probably didn't give them any prior warning. And he was like, oh, this is my granddaughter. And they were kind of like, oh, and it's that kind of like, oh, how is this? And yeah, I think when in those spaces, I felt very rejected, you know, and I think those are the instances that come to mind when you talk about the kind of different sides and having to navigate maybe those tricky situations. It's kind of knowing, okay, here I don't feel accepted, and that doesn't feel very nice.
What are the labels that you use to describe yourself that feel most comfortable?
Mine is constantly evolving in a way. So where I was like 10 years ago to today, for example, it's even the way I introduce myself, where before I would say, oh, I'm Nigerian. And then when I get that look, I think we've all gotten that look of, really? And then you explain more, then, you know, you get the, oh, right, okay, that makes sense. But now I make sure that both my heritage are represented, and also really coming to terms with and understanding what I have inherited from, you know, is that intergenerational trauma as well going on behind it, the messages that we've been fed, colonialism's message that we've been fed, the internalized racism that is sort of encountered as well, and really owning that and then working through it. So now, I'm growing in a sense to really be more understanding of both sides of my heritage, because for a while I couldn't really take it anymore. It was way too painful. So I just thought I would not want to deal with the issues of being mixed race, because I really didn't want to pick a side. I wanted to hold on to both. And if I can't have both, then I'll have nothing. So now it's constantly presenting in any way I can, both of my heritage. So for example, I would say I'm Nigerian Filipino, always. I wouldn't stop saying I'm only Nigerian. I'll always say I'm Nigerian Filipino. And if they say half, are you half and half? I always say no, I'm whole. I'm both. Because we can't be split in half. We're so mixed. Our DNA is so mixed together. So I'm whole. That's how I feel it helps my heart to, hold my identities and my race identities and myself.
I feel like I've always found it quite tricky, actually. And again, Jameela, you said we're always evolving. I agree. I feel like if you asked me this question like 5 years ago, I don't know what I would have said, and asked me in another 5 years, I'll probably say something different to what I'm going to say. So I feel like I use kind of two terms really, and feel quite comfortable using them both. So I will say that I'm mixed and do the explanation. And I'll also feel quite comfortable to use the term black, and because that's my experience. And, you know, I guess sometimes the frustrating part is it does feel like it has to come with an explanation, because, you know, what you said resonated. I feel like I can't just come and hijack someone's experience, because that is not my experience, and it will never be my experience, because there's a difference there. And so I feel like for me, there's fluidity in those two terms, but I use them both. But I think growing up, it's something that I've just had to be very aware of and come to my own understanding of who I am, what my identity is, and what I feel confident in saying and bringing with regards to myself. And I like what you said, Jameela, about that wholeness, because I think it is about coming as a whole. I think it's kind of a work in progress, and that's how I see it for myself and who I am. And I think it's important that we feel confident in who we are.
Danielle, I know that you're working on these upcoming therapy sessions that are specifically made for mixed race people, and I'm wondering, you know, what led to that, and what are you hoping to achieve from that?
Yeah, so it's a group therapy space that starts in July, and it's called Growing Up Mixed Race. And I think it was just my kind of wanting to provide a space that I didn't really feel existed. And some of the threads of this conversation, really, it's the complexity of it and giving it a space to be unpacked. I think sometimes unpacking these things can be challenging, particularly when you as the child, you're not the same like ethnicity as your mum or your dad. And there might not be anyone else like you that you can speak to about it. So it's for women specifically. But, you know, and I'm not expecting everyone's experience to be exactly the same because it won't. There are so many different factors. But having the common thread of being mixed and what that was like growing up, I'm hoping it will provide a relatable space for these women who decide to come on the group. Because I think navigating with everyone else's opinions about what you should be, what you should look like, what you should and shouldn't do. Am I going to offend someone by saying this? I'm taking up too much space. No, I need, it's difficult and it can be challenging. And so I'm hoping that this is a unique space for women where they can therapeutically kind of offload and unburden themselves and understand what their experience is and hear other women do it as well. So you can get more information on my website by signing up and registering to the subscribe part of the website. So my website is www.journey-on.co.uk.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find out about our guests in the description below, as well as Danielle's therapy sessions devoted to mixed race women. That will all be in the description below and how to take part. Until next week, stay blessed and unapologetically black.